I was here second service listening to Pastor John preach and give the message. He did an excellent job on describing the scene of heaven of when God is on his throne. And as we have been going through this series, the challenge is this, is to make us understand and realize that Revelation, the book of Revelation, is not a book that we should be like scared of, or that it's just all distant. Obviously, it has some future aspects to it, but the reality of what's going on in heaven is not distant from us, but it is a part of what's going on now. And so what's going on in heaven, it comes down right into our living room. And so as we've been looking at the painting over the fireplace, we've been adding different pieces to the picture of what we're seeing in heaven. And today we're going to talk about the lion and the lamb, and Jesus as the lion and the lamb. And may we glorify and honor him today. And so I pray that today, as we look at God's word, that we will see and understand the power and the authority and the supremacy of Jesus our Lord. If you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's word, we're going to read Revelation chapter 5 today. Revelation 5, and we'll just read this whole chapter. This is continuing the vision when John was caught up into heaven. And he says, I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a book written inside and on the back, sealed up with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to break its seals? And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the book or to look into it. And then I began to weep greatly because no one was found worthy to open the book or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, stop weeping. Behold, the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcame so as to open the book and its seven seals. And I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a lamb standing as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And we had taken the book, the four living creatures, and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and the golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood, men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. And then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessings. And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all the things in them I heard saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. And the four living creatures kept saying, amen. And the elders fell down and they worshiped. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can come before your throne, God, and you are mighty and majestic. Lord Jesus, he is the worthy one that we worship today. And I pray, God, that our minds will be lifted up into heaven, that heaven would come down into our hearts, and that we would see your greatness today. And Father, that our hearts would be burning with the love of you, and that we would go out and be a people changed by you. And Lord, that we would truly worship you, that we would fall before your feet, and your praise would be forever on our lips, God, and we would live a life of worship. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus, for it's in his name that we do pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. who is worthy? We open up this scene, and it's that John being caught up into heaven. And we saw in chapter 4, verse 1, he came through a door. There is one door. There is one door to get to heaven, and it's through Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And John sees into the throne room, the holy of holies of heaven. And he begins, and he sees that there is one God, the Father. He has a scroll in his hand, in his right hand. It's in his right hand because it is in the hand of power and all authority. God holds all authority. And this is a scroll. It's not a book like we have books today. It would have been a scroll. And it has seven seals. And it's strange. It's a different type of scroll because it's written on the front and the back. That was not normal. There's only one other time in the Bible that we're told, there's two instances of a scroll being written on front and back, one in Ezekiel's vision when he saw the vision of God, and then the tablets of stone that Moses wrote was written on front and back. And the question is, what is this scroll? Because the scroll plays an important part in this chapter, because when John sees it and hears about the scroll, they search all heaven and all earth, heaven above, heaven below, and even into the lower parts of the earth, and no one is found worthy to open it. And it causes John so much grief that he begins to weep, and he weeps bitterly. He weeps and weeps because no one is found worthy to open the scroll. There's many thoughts about this scroll, and I'll just bypass all the different theories of it and get to the one that I think's what it's talking about. I believe that the scroll represents all of history and the future. That it has every single thing, that God knows everything from beginning to end, and that it is a full scroll. There's nothing left out, that God holds all the answers to humanity in his hand, and it is the title deed to the universe. It is the power and authority. And whoever owns the scroll owns the power of the world. And so the question then is, who has all authority over the earth? Is there anyone that John can find who has the authority to take the title deed of the universe out of the hand of God? And so they go on a search, and they're searching throughout heaven and earth. And he's looking, and they're looking, and the angels may be looking into all of recesses of earth. And they can't find anyone who is worthy. Who is worthy? That's a good question, isn't it? Who is worthy to take the scroll out of the hand of God? Is it the philosophers? Is it the thinking man? Is it the power of the mind who has the authority to take the scroll? Is it Plato? Maybe is it Plato? Is he able to come and take the scroll out of the hand of God? Is it Aristotle? Maybe it would be Socrates who has the authority. Or is it Nietzsche, the philosopher? Or is it John Locke? Or Karl Marx, the philosopher and founder of communism? And where is it Bertrand Russell, a more modern day philosopher who's now passed on? Is it the great thinkers of the world who can open up and have the authority of the world? And the answer is no. Maybe it's the psychologist. Maybe they look and they start examining all the psychologists. Is it Freud? Does Freud have the power to come and grasp the scroll from the hand of God? Or is it B.F. Skinner or Pavlov? And the answer is no. No one has the authority to take the scroll from the hand of God. Is it the educators? Isn't education, education is power, amen. It's the answer to the world, right? It's in education. What the world needs is just education. Education will solve all of the world's problems. Maybe it's a higher educator. Maybe it's John Dewey or Jean-Jacques Piaget. Or maybe it's Marie Montessori. Are they the great thinkers in the minds of the educated world who have the power and the authority to take the scroll from the hand of God? And the answer is no. Maybe it's in military strength. Maybe it's the great warriors who have the authority to be able to take the scroll of the hand. They peer in and they look and they wonder, ask Alexander the Great. Is Alexander the Great, is he worthy? What about Nero? What about that emperor? Or Domitian, who was the emperor of Rome when John wrote this? And the answer is no, he doesn't. Could Napoleon approach the throne of God? No. What about Hitler? Does he have the power and authority? Absolutely not. What about Fidel Castro? And the answer is no. Who is it? Who has the power and the authority to take the scroll from the hand of God? What about the religions of the world? Surely there is a religious man that can come before the throne of God and take out the scroll. Muhammad, surely Muhammad, the great prophet, has the ability to go before the throne of God and take the scroll out of his hand? And the answer is no. What about Buddha? Can Buddha do it? Absolutely not. Confucius? No. There is no religion and the religious figure that has the authority to take the scroll out of his hand. Maybe it's not found in any religion at all. Maybe it's the atheist. The atheist. There's a new movement of atheism now today. Stephen Hawking would be one of the great atheists in our known day today. And then back in 2013, CNN, they did a documentary. They had a little article about the four horsemen of the new atheism. And where it would be the philosopher Daniel Dennett, Richard Dawkins, Christopher Hitchens, or Sam Harris? Is it one of them? Do they know more than the Almighty? Do they have the answers to the world? Do they have the authority to take the title deed out of the hand of God? And the answer is no. Maybe it's, I know. Maybe they went to Hollywood. And they began searching in Hollywood, and they began asking some of the Hollywood stars who are so wise and so, you know, a lot of them were very enlightening during this political campaign, weren't they? Miley Cyrus, she seems to know how things ought to go. Maybe she has the authority to take the scroll out of the hand of God, or maybe it's Samuel Jackson or Robert De Niro or Kim Kardashian. She makes millions of dollars. Surely she's got something. Or maybe it's the king of media, Howard Stern, who thinks he is all something. Does he have the authority to take the scroll out of the hand of God? And the answer is no. Maybe it's our great athletes today. Maybe it's King James. Not the Bible King James, but LeBron James. Maybe he has the authority. Maybe he is the one that can come and take the hand. Or maybe it's Kaepernick. Or could it be the great Michael Jordan? Does he have the authority to take the scroll out of the hand of God? And the answer is no. Well, then surely it might be the politicians of America. Surely they would be able to take the scroll out of the hand. Hillary Hillary Clinton, shouldn't she be the one that has the power? I mean, a lot of our American millennials felt like John, didn't they, when she didn't win? They wept bitterly and crying. And well, I think this is a great opportunity to witness right now. I really do. Those who encounter those who are just so and can't believe that, you know, Hillary lost, and they're just weeping and wailing and crying. You know what? I think John hit it on the head last week when he said, if you want a safe place to go, there's only one safe place to go, and that's Jesus. Because she doesn't have the power. Bernie doesn't have the power. Obama doesn't have the power. Trump doesn't have the power. None of the politicians in America have the authority to go to the throne of God and receive the scroll from the hand of God. None. Who does? Maybe Abraham. Does Abraham have the authority to go before the throne of God? Well, no, Abraham says, don't ask me. I don't have that authority. I've just got a strip of land. What about Moses? Does Moses have the authority to take the scroll out of the hand of God? He says, no, I never had land. Is it Paul or Peter? Who is it? Is it David? Is it David, the king of Israel? Does he have the authority to come and take the scroll out of the hand? No, David died. But there is one who is worthy, and he is a king, and he does come out of the line of Abraham, and he does come from the line of David. And in Genesis chapter 49, it says this: Judah, your brother, shall praise you out of the tribe of Judah. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies, and your father's son shall bow down to you. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He couches, he lies down as a lion, and as a lion, who dares rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be obedience of the peoples. And John heard, and he said, stop weeping, because there is one who is worthy to take the scroll out of the hand. And he sees, and he looks, and behold, there is a lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David. He has overcame as to open the book. There is one who is worthy. It is the lion out of the tribe of Judah. There is only one. The lion. Now the world has tried to imitate the lion in the authority and the command and the power of the universe. The lion. The lion is a fierce animal. The lion is the one who with his roar can put his enemies into fear. And so throughout all of the ages, from the very beginning after the fall of humanity, man has tried to rule by the iron fist, by the roar of the lion, by the might and by the power. And what we have seen in our world history today is that those who have the strongest fist wins. And so the lion that John sees, and is he going to see this magnificent, roaring, powerful lion come approaching from the throne to get the book? And as he looks and he sits, he hears that he's going to, that there's a lion that's going to take the scroll. And when he looks, he sees a lamb. He doesn't see a lion, but he sees a lamb. Go to verse 6. Then I saw between the throne with four living creatures and the elders a lamb standing as if slain, having seven horns. He has all power. He has seven eyes. He is all knowing and seeing. And he has the seven spirits of God, which is the Holy Spirit, before the throne of God. It is Jesus. And he comes. You see, Jesus came in a way that doesn't make sense to the world. For he came and he conquered, not by the power of his fist, but by the life of his love and grace. And his kingdom is not of this world. Remember when Jesus came, he said, my kingdom is not of this world. And Jesus said, if you want to gain your life, you've got to lose it. If you want to get, you got to give it away. If you want to be first, you got to be last. And so Jesus' kingdom was always opposite. And so when John looks upon the Lion of Judah, he doesn't see a lion, but he sees the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. The lamb that Isaiah prophesied about. The lamb that the Passover, when the Jews were freed from the bondage of Pharaoh and the blood of the lamb was applied over the door mantle. The lamb that John saw when Jesus was walking and before his baptism, he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The perfect lamb, the lamb that was without blemish, the perfect Lamb of God, Jesus, who came. And he opened not his mouth, but he was like a lamb that was led to the slaughter. And they pierced him and they put him on a cross, and there was the great sacrifice made that was the purchase of salvation for all humanity. There on the cross was when Jesus lifted up his voice and says, it is finished. It was a lamb on the cross, but it was the roar of a lion. Praise be unto God, worthy is the lamb that was slain. Jesus. He sees, and they began shouting and begin praising, and they sing a new song. Worthy are you. I tell you, church, I believe there's times when we, me included, where we forget the majesty and the power of our Lord. Because if we were ever to get a glimpse of who He is, it would change our worship. It would change our devotion. It would change our life. It would change how we spend our time. It would change how we invest our money. It would change everything about us if we can just grasp the picture of the sovereign Lord. You see, He is there now today at the right hand of the Father. And He holds the title deed of the universe. And He is the one who was worthy to open up the seals. Amen. And there will be a day where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And He is coming back, church. He's going to come back. He has got the date. We don't know when He's coming back, but there is a date settled in the eternal decrees of heaven, and there is no man on earth that's going to stop it. And He will come back, and He will come and reveal Himself, and He will make all things new. He is the King of Kings, and He is the Lord of Lords. How often are you worshiping Him? He says that there's the bowls of incense in verse 8, which are the prayers of the saints. Do you realize that what we do here matters? Do you realize that when we gather together as a church and we lift up our praises and we lift up our prayers to God, it enters into the throne room of heaven? Do you know that when you are in your closet at home and no one sees you, but there is hurt and doubt and fear in your heart, and you cry out unto God, He hears those prayers and they are before His throne. Do you realize that no matter what you're going through, for all of the Christians around the world who are suffering because of their faith and they are dying because of their faith, the prayers are going before the Father in heaven. And it is the incense. It is the aroma that fills the Holy of Holies before the throne of God. So what we do here on Sunday, it matters. It matters. Heaven comes down into this place and we can worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. For He alone is worthy to take, verse 9, the book and break its seals. For you were slain and purchased for God with your blood, men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You see, here's the great thing about God's kingdom. That it knows no boundaries. There are followers of Jesus from every tribe, every nation, every people, every tongue. And I can't wait to be in the throne room of heaven when we have the celebration of God's people from all over the world singing praises unto Him. Aren't you excited? I don't believe heaven we're all going to look alike. I don't think we're all going to be a bunch of white people in robes and floating around on clouds. I think the ethnicity of the world is going to be revealed in heaven, and there's going to be people groups from all over shouting praises unto God, for His blood reaches out to save those that were lost. Go, therefore, Jesus said before He left, and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. And lo, He says, I am with you always. And the gospel has been going out ever since then. And there's people all over that have confessed Jesus as Lord. And they are going to be praising God in heaven, not because all of us were great people, but because Jesus was a great God. And He purchased salvation for us. For no man is worthy to be able to get into heaven unto his own. Jesus did that. He says, I looked and there was creatures around. There was myriads of myriads, thousands of thousands. This is the highest of the Greek counting system. There was multiple thousands and thousands of every created thing in heaven and on earth praising him. Why? Because he won the victory at the cross. He won the victory. He is the victor. In chapter 4, before the throne, they worship God as creator. In chapter 5, they're worshiping the Lamb as redeemer. Thank God for his salvation. I don't know how often you think about it. Your salvation. How often that we just go through our days and we go through life and we hurry through life and we do things and we never reflect on God's act of redemption. And I don't know about you, but it's easy to forget to give him praise. Oh, we get busy, you know. We get stressed out. We got to run here or there. We got our schedule so full. And many times we'll get up in the morning and forget the main thing. And we'll forget to even pray. We'll forget to take time to spend before God, who is on the throne and has all power and authority, and to cast our cares upon him and to put our day before him. And how easily we forget. Am I talking to anyone here this morning? Now, I don't know where everyone stands in this room with God. I don't know where your relationship with God is. Because a lot of people think this, that, well, they're not too bad and they're pretty good, and so they're going to get to heaven because they know somebody who claims to be a Christian and they're better than that person. So they know if that person's going to heaven, then they're definitely going to heaven. And that's how they justify never trusting in Christ. And so if that's you today, I really want to help you understand this. Because somebody says they're going to heaven, doesn't mean they're going to heaven, for one. So you may be judging your life on someone who's going to hell. So you're like, well, if they're going to heaven, I'm going to heaven. Well, no, here's the reality. That, you know, they're going to hell, so that's where you're going. So you can't judge your life and look at somebody else's life. What you got to do is ask, are you worthy to take the scroll? Are you worthy to take the scroll? Can I go approach the throne of God and take the scroll? Absolutely not. There was no one found worthy in heaven and on earth and below the earth worthy to take the scroll from the hand of God. No one. The Bible says, for all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each one has turned his own way. That there is none righteous, no, not one. And here is the neat thing about God. That Jesus, even though we were sinners, the Bible says, he died for us. Isn't that crazy? Even when I was an enemy of God, even when I didn't love the Lord, even when I didn't honor him as God, he loved and died for me. That's the power of the lion. The power of his roar is in the sacrifice of the lamb. And he took our curse. And he took our shame. And when Adam and Eve, when they fell and the earth was cursed and it will produce thorns, they took the thorns and they made it into a crown and they mocked his kingship and they crushed his head with a crown of thorns. And on the cross, when he said, "It is finished," That's the roar of the lion coming from the mouth of the lamb. And he completed it. And he holds not only the future in his right hand, but guess what? He holds my eternal destiny. He holds my salvation in his hand. Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad that he holds my soul? Aren't you glad, believer, child of God, that he holds your eternal destiny in his right hand? That's when Paul says, what can separate me from the love of God? Can death? Can life? Can principalities? Can demons? Nothing, he says, nothing. I'm convinced that nothing shall separate me from the love of God. He has us in his hand. Do you not know the Bible says that you are not your own, that you were bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus? And so not only does he hold the world in his hand, but he holds my eternal soul in his hand. And I am thankful for that, aren't you? I'm thankful because if he holds my salvation, then I'm safe. If it depends on me, I'm in trouble. I'll be just like that Louisville football player who fumbled there at the end. That'd be me. I mean, I would see the end zone of heaven, and I'd be running with my good works, and I'd be doing good, you know, I'd be trying to knock off some things, and then I'd get to the 5-yard line and I'd fumble. I can't make it to the end zone. I can't make it to heaven without Jesus. And so Jesus saves us, and he holds us in his hand. He is the only one worthy. Church, we need to praise him. We need to give him his due praise. If you're a child of God, you need to thank him each and every day. I need to thank him each and every day. May we never forget the power and the sovereignty and the authority of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Friend, if you're here and you don't know the Lord Jesus as Savior and Lord, I'm going to ask that you listen to what the Holy Spirit wants to say to you. If you think you can get to heaven on your own, I pray you hear it loud and clear that you are not worthy. You're not worthy to take the scroll. You're not worthy. There is no one worthy. There is only one worthy. And he died for you to make you righteous. So if you don't know Jesus today, I'd put my pride away and I'd humble myself and I'd come before the cross and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Forgive me. Save me. And he will hear that prayer and redeem you by his blood. Amen. Let's pray. Before we pray, I'd like just for you to take some time right now and just pray as we're getting ready. If you're a child of God this morning and you haven't told God you loved him in a long time, maybe this would be a great time. Would you just express your love to him? Would you just tell him how much you love him? Amen. Would you thank him for saving you? Would you just thank God for salvation? Would you begin to lift up your requests before his throne and allow the incense of the prayers of the saints to begin to enter into the throne room? If you've got some needs and concerns or fears or whatever it is, maybe you just need to feel his comfort. Would you just pray to the Lord? If you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, you've never confessed him as today, would you listen and not harden your hearts, but that you would respond? Lord Jesus, give us eyes to see today, right now. May we see you. May we see you, Lord Jesus, as the one that was born and humbled himself and walked a sinless, perfect life. Lord, may we see you. May we see you as they mock you and ridicule you and pluck out your beard and spit on your face and they nail you to the cross. May we hear the words that you speak over. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Thank you that you forgive, God. And may we hear the roar of the final call, that it is finished, that you purchased salvation for all who will believe in you. Lord, today if there's someone that needs to know you, would you call them out and bring them into your kingdom? And may we give you the praise that you deserve. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand, let's sing. Would we worship today? Whatever you need to do, would you need to come and pray? Just give thanks. Whatever it is, would you obey the Lord today? Let's sing. Let's shout this out. Here we go. Get ready.